Welcome to the Equal Giving Circle podcast, The Sharing Culture, the show that talks about sharing, who does it, why, and the history, and a whole lot in between. Each episode is a stewarded conversation by one of our team members and another community organizer or community member. We hope that you enjoy these conversations about sharing and are inspired to lean in and explore your own relationship with sharing and are called to stretch and build deeper alongside of us. We look forward to sharing with you.
All right, so welcome to just a little
EGC Uncut.
EGC Uncut. We're gonna just talk about some of the things about this work behind the scenes that we don't always talk about and share. We are pretty diplomatic, I would say.
Oh yeah.
Pretty like head down, hyper focused on the work, but like don't get it twisted.
This space
is fucking raggedy. Not us, but some of the shit that be happening around us.
It's hard.
It's bananas. It's yikes on bikes.
Yikes on bikes. So, AJ, I mean, like, you are our lead fundraiser. You are in the streets all the time. I may write a small grant or two with you out there, whether it's writing grants, rallying our monthly donors. What's on your mind about this process and like about like continuing? Like, I can't even imagine. I get to have my head down playing these events and stuff like that, which are amazing and mm-hmm. great, but you are in this constant grind of catching people's attention to remind them to continue supporting this work.
Yeah. So fundraising is rough, and fundraising around direct services is rough. It is really rough. I don't think that like people generally seem to like really get that. And then we're also, EGC is deemed a bit of, dare I say, radical. We're not. Like, we care about human rights, people having access to basic resources. Like, that's, but we are deemed radical. One time somebody called me dangerous and I was like, oh really?
Is this like, food box that dangerous?
I know.
Like, oh my God, you want nutrient dense food?
I know, because I care. It's dangerous. I literally just cackled and then didn't say anything for the rest of the time we were in the space. I was like, that's all I can offer. But I really wish that people understood and knew like what's going on with fundraising. One, I'm really frustrated that our larger community thinks that when it comes to nonprofits and community care work or programming or projects, that the rich people, foundations, or the government is just going to pick up the slap and pick up the tab. That's not true. And that's not, I'm not just reflecting about the EGC. That is just the reality within this space. Getting a grant isn't always clean and neat and easy. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's not a ton of work. Sometimes it is a lot of work. Sometimes it's knowing, having a relationship with the funder. The reality with that too, like we have a grant that was supposed to be, it's confirmed and it was supposed to be paid out end of October, November. It's for $85,000. JK, they decided they're moving it to end of January, February, maybe March, that we'll moving forward with for the whole group. And that's a nightmare. It sucks. Like, we always are, I'm always like trying to figure out and strategizing and working around that. But like, those are some of the hurdles. You can't really say anything back. Like, you can't, you know, I have a reputation of pushing back, saying stuff and ruffling feathers. It doesn't always serve me or us. It doesn't. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. But like, this space is really, really dusty. I think that's the other thing is like, I really wish our larger community understood like how dated and dusty philanthropy is, the nonprofit industrial complex of like how things work in here, how we're moving money, sharing money. Mm-hmm. And also how important it is just to show up whatever amount that you have. But like, oh, fundraising is it's gnarly.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to participate in it. That's one of my gripes, is that everyone is just like, oh, it's scary. I don't like it. I'm not good at it. I don't want to. Do you think I want to? Do you really think that this is, I want to be chasing people around, shaking people down, begging for money? One time I said that I was a professional beggar to this elder and she almost slapped me. She was like, no, you're not. You're an advocate. You're a resource advocate. And I was like, I love that you're speaking like life into me right now. But man, I really am like out here like, help me feed people, please. You know, or being like, you're a fucking monster. You're a gatekeeper. It's really either one. I'm like, help us. Or you're the devil. Those are like the pendulum swings on like any given day for around. Me. It's insane.
What do you wish funders would do different or would know, like should know about this process to help them do better?
One of the things I wish funders like knew is that stop always chasing new work. Because first of all, you need time for work and programming to both materialize, settle in, and then like grow and expand. And the community requires consistency, right? So you can't fund something for a year and then be like, oh, it didn't work, so we're gonna do something else. That's ignorant. That's not helping anybody. And you've gotta invest in the work ongoing and in robust ways. Like paying people is important. Making sure that teams have healthcare, making sure that like the work is funded, the programming, the supplies, et cetera. Also spend your money down. What you doing with the $1 billion fund? And like legally you're only, okay, let me just math for folks. $1 billion fund, which you can't really spend $1 billion as an individual or an entity. Like that's a lot of money. Like,
that's a lot.
It's a lot of money. Google the infographics so you can kind of see some of like that. But Google that so you can visually see the difference between $1 million and $1 billion in volume and what have you. So $1 billion fund is only going to be working and granting money out into the community based off of their ROI, their return on interest, right? So $1 billion fund's general return on interest every single year is about $200 million, which is a lot of money. $200 million is a lot of money. They're only required by law to like put like 5% of that ROI into the community. They're not even, it's not that they're required to spend 5% of their overall money they have. It's literally of this portion, right? So you see that the $200 million, now we're talking about only like maybe $50, $70 million is going to be spent, if that. Yeah. That's being generous. The rest of that, right? So we're just say 70. We're just going to use that easy number. 130 goes back to that big pot that the community's not seeing or not touching. It's not being invested in the community. And I'm talking about education. I'm talking about mentorship. I'm talking about save the fucking frogs. I'm talking about food programming, healthcare, all of that stuff that this money should be being invested in. So now we have $70 million. Well, the nonprofit is going to say, or the foundation, which is a nonprofit, and how they're getting their tax write-off, they are going to spend that money on their overhead, their building costs, their staffing, and their consultants. Array of lots of consultants. So now we're saying like that amount, it could be whatever amount that they say in their quote unquote programming, they might have like hosted a workshop or a gala or something. All that's be spent on.
Yeah.
What they're actually putting into community might be something more like $40 million.
Yeah.
Now, that does seem like a lot of money. And like, I'm being like, why are you, I'm coming after so-and-so's money. But the whole point of a foundation is to support community and to invest in community and to better the community that they are set up to serve.
Yeah.
You're hoarding money and not investing in the community. Like, start spending down. Get this money out. Invest in the community. That's what I want to see. I want to see our larger community holding foundations accountable who are hoarding dollars.
Yeah.
Because that is a lot of money that could make a big impact, whether, again, you're talking about elder care, food access, rent, whatever it is, education, after-school programs. Again, you could save the birds.
Yeah.
Pollution, climate change, right? So understanding that math, and I really wish that foundations would, like, really, instead of like holding a think tank conversation, invest this money in community. Put your money where your mouths are. And also stop making nonprofits and community programs chase these dollars. Like if we're if we have a good relationship, then like, sure, yeah, we can submit our paperwork. We can submit, you know, figure out some kind of more general uniform way that you're pulling information. Sometimes some of the grants, I'll be writing, you know, 50-page documents.
Yeah.
And people were like, are you serious? Yeah, I've gathered all this. And it's when it's all said and done, I'm putting a little mini book together. I wonder why I can't write a book, because I'm writing a grant all the time.
That part.
You know, so I really wish that like we were the foundations and community in general. We were talking about this money and also holding people accountable from a policy standpoint. I think that the foundation should have to give, they should have to invest that money and divest from being a foundation, and that money needs to go into community.
I really like that. I mean, like, I'm like, I being on a different side or different perspective of this work, and also seeing like the fact that like I wish that foundations, larger entities that's funding, thinks about the sustainability of programming and services. And I think it gets to your point around chasing dollars. Like, people, organizations, foundations are sometimes enamored around this new shiny penny. And I was just like, so just say, like, we live in the state of Oregon. A lot of organizations work on the biennium. Government works on the biennium. So you get your dollars. It takes about 6 months to process, to like then figure out your process, get the dollars out. It takes a couple more months for people to receive the dollars. Now we're down to a year and a half. You know, that organization gets the dollars, they hire their staff, you know, do that, you know, you're less than a year and a couple months, and then you may get an entire year to execute programming, and then you go back into the rat races again. And then just say like organizations that are doing amazing work, and then again, like, this is what like grinds my gears sometimes when I'm thinking about like some of this work. I see time and time again, we talk about these goals and metrics, specifically community-based organizations are meeting these goals and metrics, blowing them out of the water. Level of engagement from community higher than you could ever see anywhere else. And they're consistently underfunded or given just enough to survive or just enough to hold staff for a year and a half. And then they have to fire said staff because they no longer have the funds to maintain like basic staffing, health insurance, things of that nature. Then they have to hopefully rehire if they find new people. So again, the people who are doing the work and individuals that are doing the work that can do the work well, they are constantly in this roller coaster of like, I need to get out of this, like, I need to get out of the space because I have to support my family. I have to support myself. And they can't live in this up and down roller coaster of funding. The organizations that's doing the work, people are going to get fatigued. People are going to get tired. And being 5 years into it, this is fatiguing, tiring work. Some days I was like, AJ.
Yeah.
AJ.
It's emotionally draining.
It's emotionally draining. And if the goal is to create sustainability, and this is where the conversation around how does the, what is it, the nonprofit industrial complex, the foundation industrial complex plays out, I was just like, there has to be this sense of scarcity when there is no scarcity because the funding's out there to get the infighting, to get the like the drive to, you know, do certain things or have organizations do certain things, and then like that then ultimately does not lead to funding processes and programs that's going to create like stability. Because if we create a foundation of stability, it doesn't take that much to stabilize an organization that's doing amazing work. And when I say doesn't take that much, I mean like you can have a consistent funding plan that supports the stabilization of an organization that is, you know, not that expensive. However, we are enamored in the retraining, the rethink tanking, these community meetings that may not include the community that you're searching for. Like there's millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars a year in the state of Oregon is spent on that. Correct me if I'm wrong. I want somebody to correct me if I'm wrong.
Then like, I will correct you because you're right.
The sheer number of to do this work, while on the flip side, I see so many amazing, even during our 5-year tenure, so many amazing culture-specific organizations that went under because they could not withstand the yo-yoing of this funding cycle that exists with how we fund programs. But then we will fund organizations and programs that cannot pull community, does not have community trust, are completely out of the state. They have no relationship or connection to hardly anyone. And we will drop millions of dollars there for them to say that we need to be deeply connected to community. We need to do all these things that have been talked about and articulated, but has been poorly funded.
Yep.
And here we are once again having the same circular conversation. I feel like in a Charles Dickens novel, I think it was Little Dorrit, like I'm a literature major, is the circulation office. Like, and it's going around and around and around and around again. Yeah. And so I would hope that like when people are developing funding models that they shift into the, I'm going to fund this organization to stability.
Yeah.
And how would that change their outcomes?
Yep. And pushing community members to like match it, right? Like nobody is going to save us but us. Like for real, for real. Nobody is going to come and save us. And so it is our collective responsibility to tap the fuck in and be consistent. Mm-hmm. And to like, you know, you can't just say you're a fan. Like if you are not investing in this work with your time and money and also getting other people to also invest in this work and be consistent as a calling, you don't get to be upset when programs no longer exist or programs are having to be a bump. And, you know, I'm going to use the Good in the Hood as example, right? They were looking for volunteers for like 3 years and talking about, we need more help. We need this, da, 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 and putting, you know, putting everywhere, emailing folks, being real clear about it. And then, so they didn't, we didn't have Good in the Hood this year in 2024 and people, and it sucked and it was disappointing and people were so angry about it. Where were y'all showing up to help? Did you sign up as a volunteer? Hey, because they had a ton of different volunteer opportunities, right? They was talking about it. Did you sign up to as a donor? Did you ask your job to sponsor it? No? Then how dare you get on these internets and complain about them, drag these people for filth and be, you know, nasty and disgruntled? You don't get to come to community and just extract and then drag people for filth and then be like, these people suck. No, you suck. You didn't show up. And it just means like there's tons of different ways to show up. So don't get in your feelings about that. But we're often not seeing people be consistent in the way they're reflecting, but they sure as hell have a lot of raggedy shit to say and dragging hardworking community organizers for filth when actually y'all was the one who didn't show up. Y'all was the one who didn't invest. Y'all weren't consistent. You weren't supportive. And now we don't have something and using your feelings. Get out of my face.
Mm.
Woo! See, I'm not the nice one on our team. Don't get it twisted because I moisturize and love my water, you know. I look young and fresh, but I'm mean.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I think that was our first little episode of EGC Uncut.
So foundations, funders, y'all have your tasks. What's these funding platforms that's going to look about sustaining an organization, not just hoping that they stay just above water before they drown, literally. And then other people in community, I was like, you can't speak on community if you're not in community or if you only want to extract from community.
Boom.
Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to The Sharing Culture with Equitable Giving Circle. We appreciate you being on this journey with us. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, subscribe, and comment. If you loved what you heard, please tap in and find us on socials under Equitable Giving Circle or find us at our website, www.equitablegivingcircle.org, to donate, volunteer, or learn more about our programming. We look forward to working with you all to build a stronger and more connected and resourced Portland community. Imagine Black is an Oregon-based nonprofit working to build Black political power across the state. They have recently created an app for our Black community here in Oregon. Everyone needs to check it out. Black Oregonians need a safer space online to connect and collaborate. The Black Possibilities app is designed for Black Oregonians to build community, heal from traumas, advocate for change, and dismantle anti-Black racism safely. It brings networking, civic power, leadership, community care, and strategic action to your phone. We need community care and camaraderie to deal with and heal from trauma of anti-Black racism. Imagine Black is excited to invite our community to join the Black Possibilities app this year. You know I'm already there, so join me in the app by going to Google Play and Apple stores and download the Black Possibilities app today.